Welcome to Nocturnal Admissions, the Las Vegas Weekly Nightlife Podcast. I'm Deanna Rilling, and on the phone we have Antoine from Second Sun. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Reason I'm getting in touch is that you're going to be playing in Las Vegas at Rain on October 23rd. So we just wanted to catch up with you a bit about the show and the new album. What a lot of people kind of don't understand is that just because people like you and Adam are in the booth in a club, it doesn't mean that you're a DJ. So for those that might be interested in your upcoming gig, tell them a little bit about what they'll experience live.
Yeah, that's pretty much the biggest misconception with Second Sun is that we're not DJs. We're a live act. So what that means is that we're playing all our own songs and remixes live on stage. So we're not DJing. We're not playing other people's tracks. We're playing our own tracks. So it just sort of feels sometimes like a DJ set, because we don't stop between songs, really. We sort of mix our songs together just like a DJ would. But it's all our stuff, and that's what we do, and that's why we have, you know, live vocals as well that I do, and I play live keyboards, and it's a lot of fun.
So what kind of a live rig do you guys have up there? Because you do sing, and then do you have, like, synthesizers, or what all is going on for you guys up there?
Yeah, so we have keyboards, and basically we have sequences that we can trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And change up. It's something, it's actually a system that took us a while to perfect. You know, like our first show, and this was maybe 6 years ago or something. Our first show was like a total disaster. We played, we were opening for Paul Van Dyk in Berlin.
Oh, wow.
In Germany. And it just sort of, we hadn't quite figured it out yet. And so after that show went completely wrong, we decided to go back to the drawing board and figure out how to do this. And so now we have our system that's, I guess, unique to us. I don't know what everybody else is doing, but we have ours. And we play keyboards, trigger sequences, and then we also use Ableton Live on the laptops, extra, like, sequencing and the beats and stuff, and the keyboards that we can't play live. And then I have my live vocals going.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that really helps also is that we have our own big mix board, so we're not counting on, like, a guy to come on tour with us and mix our sound. So
mm-hmm.
we mix everything ourselves on stage, which really, really helps.
Cool.
To have our own sound that we want. Yeah.
Now, do you guys ever have other musicians join you for a full band kind of performance?
We had that happen twice.
Mm-hmm.
Once was at the Ultra Music Festival in Miami.
Right.
During the Winter Music Conference. We did a full band show, and because I also play guitar, and so we did a full band show at the Ultra Music Festival. And then in Vegas, actually, we once did a show at Rehab at
right.
the Hard Rock. And we had Shannon Leto, mm-hmm. the drummer of the band 30 Seconds to Mars. He came on with us and did some extra percussion stuff with our show. But no, usually it's really just me and Adam up there. And we do have a side project, which is a band called CB7, but that's a whole other thing.
Oh, okay. You mentioned the Rehab gig. How long ago was that? It was quite a while ago, right?
I think it was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a couple of years. Yeah.
Is that the only other time you guys have been in Vegas? I was trying to rack my brain and I couldn't remember.
Yeah, no, we played. We had played. We played a few times. I guess the first time was for a sort of dance music festival that was going on in Vegas
mm-hmm.
Long, long time ago. And then, we did the Rehab thing, and we did play Rain once before this time.
Cool.
Yeah, which is really great. I love playing at Rain just because it's so theatrical and
right. You know,
the crazy dancers and acrobats. And last time we played, I mean, we have a single called Fire and Water.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were playing that, they had actual fire being, you know, spit out of this, you know, this rig on attached to the ceiling. So you had flames actually coming out while we were playing the track. It was pretty dope.
Yeah, yeah, they love the fire there. Everybody goes crazy every time. They're like, ooh, fire.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I love it.
So for you guys, you've got the new album out, The Lost Weekend,
yes.
And
yep.
Which just came out recently. So for you and Adam, what's kind of the studio dynamic like?
Well, I'm writing most of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pretty much all the songs, and then I would say like Adam is more like computer whiz.
Okay.
And I'm more, I guess, the music part of things.
Mm-hmm.
I still make keyboard sounds and stuff. But, yeah, we've been working together for a really long time. And so he's sort of more comfortable being in the background. And I'm sort of more the front man making noise.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I love is that you actually broke down the whole new album song by song. For people to check out, which is cool because people are always like, what's the story behind this song? So I noticed that you refer to Miami quite a bit in your descriptions. So were you spending mm-hmm. a lot of time there while writing the songs?
Or? I actually, we lived in Miami for 3 years, and that was the period where we got most of the album done. And so it was definitely an influence on the sound, and I wanted the album to have a theme. I didn't want it just to be sort of this dance music album just full of club tracks. And so it's important for me to, for an album to, an artist album, not to sound like a DJ compilation.
Right.
So I wanted to write proper songs and have songs that are not necessarily meant just for the dance floor. But also, like, as a CD, you can just pop in the car and have a long drive and just appreciate it. So I guess with Miami, it was exploring sort of the different facets of Miami from, you know, the good side to the bad side and everything in between.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned popping the CD in a car, going on a road trip, and that was actually the first time I listened through the album all the way through.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was cool. I was heading out to Nocturnal last month, and that's when I listened to it and checked it out. So with some of the tracks that are on there, I think the one that stuck out the most to me was More Pills, which, you know, you guys did Pills a few years ago. So one thing I wondered about that, that's with the... Cedric
Gervais,
yeah. So with the song More Pills, people always seem to assume if it's electronic music and you mention the word pills, you're always talking about E. But it seems to be more of a social commentary about the nature of people's reliances on all these substances. Is that kind of on base?
Yeah, that's totally on point. It's you know, for me, I grew up mostly in Canada, in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I moved to my mom's American, and then so I was always going sort of back and forth. But when I moved permanently to the States, this was maybe 10 years ago. You know, for us in Canada, it like prescription drugs, especially at that time, it wasn't a big thing. And then when I came to the States, I saw people that were using prescription drugs to party and stuff, and.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, Xanax and this and that, and then the uppers and the downers and the this. So it was sort of always fascinating to me because they're, you know, you need a prescription, but they are legal. And yes, it's just this whole craze where sort of people are trying to trick their bodies into doing everything, into going to sleep or waking up, or for guys getting an erection, or, you know what I mean? So
right.
I thought it was interesting to write a song with a vocal that almost sounded like a nursery rhyme.
Yeah.
And saying, you know, there's a pill for this and there's a pill for that and there's a pill for this and you need to take all these pills to help you maintain, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you also have on there We Own the Night, and you said that it's good for slightly smaller rooms than a late night dizzy crowd. So I was wondering, what exactly is a dizzy crowd?
A dizzy crowd? Well, everybody knows what a dizzy crowd is, you know?
It's the people who are taking more pills, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, with your guys' influence from Depeche Mode to even just your style and your persona, the first time I ever saw you guys, before I knew a lot about you, I figured you were British. So has there been that, is that kind of the majority of your influence?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, I'm really, really influenced by, you know, Depeche Mode and Tears for Fears and a lot of the good 80s stuff, because that back then they would use keyboards. They had less options in terms of what they could use, and they just, to me, used them more wisely than a lot of people today, where, you know, you have, it's very easy to have access to those sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And also they were used in a way where you listen to the music and it doesn't feel forced, it just feels right. And it was in the mainstream, which is really impressive. So I guess the UK was always an influence. I mean, even when I was younger and I started going to raves when I was maybe 14 years old. And I remember just, reading Mixed Mag, the UK magazine, and just seeing what was going on in the UK. And it was just sort of, everything was just so on point musically to me. So, yeah, I mean, obviously the UK has always been a really big influence.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the 80s. So speaking of the 80s, you guys have you guys redid Party All the Time, which in the 80s, like, that Eddie Murphy song was kind of the butt of a bazillion jokes, but
I know.
But now it's kind of it works in the club. So what possessed you guys to work on that with Sharam? And
honestly, it was kind of like a joke for us as well.
Yeah.
You know, for where it was, you know, Sharam and, you know, hit me up and he, you know, wanted to do this thing. And it was supposed to be just like a fun track for the Winter Music Conference that year.
Uh-huh.
But then, you know, it blew up and couldn't get the clearance from Eddie Murphy's people. So I wonder why. But... So I ended up singing it myself, and we also did a remix of the track, and then it just, like, blew up. Like, it was just a surprise to everybody how much it blew up, and to this day, I mean, I can't stand doing the track anymore. I mean, it's still kind of fun, but it's like, you know, especially in places like South America, it's like, it's just like they want Party All the Time, and so sometimes we cave and we go, all right, we'll do Party All the Time. But it's only when the crowd really wants it. And then, you know, and then it just goes off every time. So it's one of those surprise things.
You guys did a lot of work with Paul Van Dyke and Vandant, and he was kind of essential to your big break. But what prompted the move from Vandant to Ultra for the latest album, The Lost Weekend?
Well, Vandant is based in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And is... you know, mostly based on, you know, singles, and we wanted to have something here in North America, and the best option in North America for dance music is Ultra Records, who've been doing really well, and that's pretty much what prompted the move.
Okay, we're always curious about tattoos, so what's maybe the story behind your fleur-de-lis tattoo?
Oh, that's because, like I said earlier, I'm French-Canadian.
Uh-huh.
And on the Quebec flag, there are four fleurs-de-lis.
Okay.
So it's kind of something that reminds me of home. Mm-hmm. And Quebecois culture.
Cool. And then you mentioned you started going to raves at 14. So were you a candy kid in UFO pants at all?
Actually, I started before all that.
Oh, okay.
So for us, when I first started, I mean, this was like in, 1995, like mid-90s. So back then, raves were more like everybody was just kind of crazy and everybody was very different. And, you know, I remember I wore some crazy stuff myself. I remember I had this for, I was wearing for a while, a Nintendo Power Glove.
Awesome.
And yeah, because we used to break dance back then. I had this stupid looking power glove and I cut off the power cord. And yeah, I had pants made out of bubble wrap.
Awesome.
You know, with pockets and a zipper and everything. And yeah, it was just sort of crazy in it. And then the Candy Kids came afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I was right about around the era of the big pants, right when Candy Kids were kind of starting, like in the late 90s. So,
yeah, for me, it was before all the friendship bracelets and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And then,
but I did wear UFOs, though.
Awesome. See, I knew it. I knew it.
For a while, I remember when I used to go down to Twilo in New York, which was an amazing club where all these guys from Europe sort of broke into the North American market. Guys like Paul Van Dyke and Sasha and Digweed, they would do these 8-hour sets.
Wow.
And those were really magical nights. And I used to go down from Montreal all the time to go to Twilo, and I remember back then I am guilty of wearing UFOs. Yes.
It's okay. But, and then I've noticed live, it seems like you like to jump off of things a lot. So have you ever gotten hurt?
Actually, I once broke my ankle.
Oh, no.
But that wasn't on stage while I was performing. That was actually after a show in New York. I was sort of walking fast to go off stage, and there was a ramp, and I thought the stairs were on my side of the ramp, but the stairs were on the other side of the ramp, so I just straight up walked off stage, and it was like a 6-foot drop, and I landed on my ankle. But actually with my jumps on stage, I've never gotten hurt before.
Well, that's good.
I just like jumping around like a monkey and just getting really excited about things.
Who do you think has better abs, you or the situation?
I mean, you can't beat the situation in terms of abs, I think. I mean, mine are okay, but it's funny. I was at the VMAs a month ago. And it was funny because I was like right next to the situation on the red carpet. And I was like cracking up, and I didn't get a picture with the situation, but I did get a picture with Snooki.
Oh,
which
no.
It was pretty funny. It was like the only person I went up to on the red carpet. I was like, she was like right next to me, and I was like, I have to get a picture with Snooki.
Awesome.
And it was pretty legendary.
Yeah, Vegas is obsessed with them. Did you see the South Park episode, the Jersey one?
No.
You gotta watch it.
I missed it.
If you love Snooki.
I wanna see it. Dude, I have to see it. I saw the commercials for it, and I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to see it.
It's pretty
amazing. I guess I could probably catch it online.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. They do a great Snooki, so.
Can't wait to see it. It's great.
But I guess the last thing I was wondering, I noticed we need to get you some more Twitter followers. You only have like 98 as of when I checked.
I know. It's so funny. It's pretty funny, but I have this other Twitter account. It's kind of complicated for now because I'm doing two projects. So I have Second Son that I'm doing, but I have this band called CB7, and which is like a new band, and we're doing shows and stuff, and I have like, you know, I guess like close to 900 followers for that Twitter account, but only like 98 for Second Son. And so what I thought of doing is just started posting like the most random stupid shit just to see if people are actually hearing it and like responding.
Mm-hmm.
But Twitter, Schwitter, whatever.
Hey, it's a wave of the future. But so
it's true.
So what with the other project you mentioned, what else is going on with that, and when can we look forward to something?
Well, it's actually we're being hooked up by the guys of the band 30 Seconds to Mars.
Oh, okay.
It's just sort of an, because I like writing songs that are not necessarily meant for the dance floor, and I've been playing guitar since I was 7 years old, and so CB7 is a little bit more mainstream, we're sort of building a nice worldwide fan base.
Cool.
Right now. And you know, we're happy to have the support of 30 Seconds to Mars, and we've started doing shows, and it's pretty exciting. The check CB7 out, you can go to facebook.com/CB7Music, mm-hmm. And we have a couple demos that I posted up there.
Cool. Do you think you might bring that to Vegas sometime?
For sure.
Cool. Awesome. Yep. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. And look forward to the gig at Rain October 23rd.
Yes, thank you so much. We'll see all of you at Rain.
For up-to-date Las Vegas nightlife and dance music scene news, always be sure to check out lasvegasweekly.com.